The focus of this presentation is on the views and experiences of adult men and women, foreign language learners, especially English language learners, outside of educational institutions in Japan, which include learning English in Eikaiwagakko, which is English conversation schools, or lessons offered by small businesses and non-profit organizations, and also with private lessons and so forth. This exploration is based on the qualitative data obtained in Japan in 2007. And I'm going to focus on hobbyist orientation, which is learning for no apparently practical reasons, but for serious reasons, job opportunities, more casually, which is opportunistic self-gratitude. This is an underexplored area, and yet it's a huge industry, and involves social and ideological implications. So, learning and investment in foreign language context. The notion of investment, which draws on a peer-produced economic metaphor of capital, has gained a currency as an alternative to the notion of motivation. Investment underscores multiple and fluid subjectivities rather than fixed psychological learning traits. And according to this framework, a learner expects a return from investment, which includes acceptance into the target second language community, a better life with increased cultural and linguistic capital, a better job, and things like that. And this is related to social inclusion. So investment in foreign language learning is typically understood as part of the strategy for social inclusion. This idea of investment as language learning may not be relevant to some foreign language contexts and also in some second language contexts. Let's look at the idea of language learning as leisure. This is a field of study called leisure studies, and the scholars have discussed the distinction between serious leisure and casual leisure. Serious leisure is actually like a liberal arts hobby, like painting, playing musical instruments, or amateur historian and photography and so forth. And it's the systematic pursuit of an amateur hobbyist or volunteer forum that people find so substantial, interesting, and fulfilling that they launch themselves on a leisure career centered on acquiring and expressing combination of its special skills, knowledge, and experience. Whereas casual leisure is more self-gratifying in nature, and it's passive entertainment, like watching movies or sociable conversation, having dinner with friends, and so forth. And it's defined as less substantial and offers no career and an immediately intrinsically rewarding, relatively short-lived, pleasurable core activity requiring little or no special training to enjoy it. Leisure activities are not totally left to individual choice because leisure activities are pretty much influenced by commercial business interests and so forth. And also, it's not necessarily socially innocuous. Some of the leisure activities can be socially harmful. Leisure activities are linked to consumption and desire. So we can conceptualize language learning as consumption rather than investment. So leisure activities are built on consuming goods and services offered for fulfillment, self-actualization, enjoyment, and pleasure. So, as I said, language learning can be viewed as consumption rather than investment. And consumption is stimulated by advertisement or produce and reflect apogare, which is desire or longing. And language learning involves not only pragmatic purposes, but also emotional dimension of desire, like fantasizing, speaking with some other people in a foreign language, or some dreams about speaking a foreign language, or fascination, and so forth. And also, desire in language learning is often constructed by cultural stereotypes. Okay, so research sites. As I mentioned, this paper is based on qualitative data I gathered in Japan in 2007. And this site is Hasu, which is a mid-sized rural city in Morino Prefecture in Japan, and those are students. And some of the interviewees are a kind of business providers with a dual role of teacher and manager. The majority of the interviewees were adult men and women learning a kind of English conversation outside of education institutions. Okay. So where to go to learn a Kaiwa? According to Yahoo regional information that I looked at in 2007, 16 English language businesses for adults and children existed in the city of Hasu, including three large franchise Eikaiwa Gakko English conversation institutes. And other arrangements include group lessons at community center or private home, or Gakushu Jiku, which is after school private tutorials for children. So there are numerous sites where English language learning occurred. And the cost, if you are a Japanese adult to learn English in some of those sites, how much does it cost, right? So at franchise Eikaiwa Gakko, it's about 10,000 yen per month for 50-minute per week lessons, which is about $100. And if you want to take twice a week or something, it's double, plus other fees involved. Lessons offered at Fitness House. Fitness House is a fitness center, and this non-profit organization rents a room and provides English lessons. And this is less expensive, so less than 3,000 yen per month, which is about $30. And group lessons held at Tokyo Community Center is even cheaper. It's 2,000 yen per month. And typically, women who have maybe part-time work or who are full-time housewives, they get together and they organize the English conversation lesson. They find a teacher and they rent a room in community center. So, gathering data. It was difficult to gather data at franchise Eikaiwa teachers because they are private businesses. They don't want outsiders to come in and investigate. So, I relied on informal interviews arranged through personal connections. And also, I engaged in participant observation. And here are some of the pictures that give you some idea of the sites necessary. Doesn't mean that the participants are here. So housewives and fitness house, and men and women, all ages. Okay. So profile of Eikaiwa lesson. Profile of Eikaiwa lesson. Okay. It's basic conversation. So the ones that I visited were mostly free talk, like, what did you do last weekend? And students are talking mostly in Japanese, particularly with the native speakers of English who are fluent speakers of Japanese. So very little English going on. and very slow pace. But in contrast, I had an opportunity to observe a lesson at the Franchise Aikido Institute, and that followed rigid lesson plan with repetitions and drills and very little intervals. So findings, I'm going to talk about two themes in my findings. The first one is hobbyist perspective. Akio is a 34-year-old man, and he works for a warehouse for food products in Hasu. And he works long hours, and he complains about long overtime and hard work. So I asked whether he is learning English so that he can obtain a better job. And here's what he said. He said, "I don't think that far. Using English at work is far from the current reality, and my English isn't that great anyway. It's like a hobby. Like, it can be useful when I travel abroad." And all the quotes are translated from Japanese. And koalas is a group of people who learn English on Wednesday morning, and the native speaker of English is their teacher. And I had a chance to interview very briefly after one lesson on Wednesday. And they come to lessons for fun, maintaining contact with English, communicating and socializing with classmates, and staying mentally active. One older man said, "I'm going to be better than and Kae is a 46-year-old woman, member of Koalas, and she's an owner of private juku for children, and she actually teaches English to children. And here's what she said. "Learning a language is fun. It's more like enjoying a club activity than learning. Even if you skip one lesson, it's not a burden at all. I like the relaxed aspect. The teacher says, you may do your homework and no one does it. That's casual. We go out to have lunch after class and it's fun. That's what keeps me going. If you really want to learn, you can go abroad or to an Aikido school. Our previous teacher was strict. He brought difficult handouts that no one could follow. He even corrected our pronunciation. As we get older, we feel discouraged as we leaning more towards casual than serious leisure. And, you know, she's consuming pleasure by learning English or socializing with others. So, second finding is romantic akogare. Akogare is desire. And, let's see. And the previous studies have identified Japanese women's akogare or desire for English, Western culture, and white men. English-related romantic akogare is often subtle and implicit in my data, and it's felt by some men as well. There's a close connection with casual leisure and consuming fantasy here. And Yayoi is a 46-year-old woman who works for an accountant office, and she's married, but she separated her husband, and she takes lessons at Fitness Hasu. And this interaction is like, you know, 10 minutes into the initial interview. I just met her, and I asked her why she's learning English. And Yayoi said, "Maybe I just wanted to be able to speak English, but I used to have akogare for living abroad, just an ordinary life, maybe in Hawaii." I said, "Why Hawaii? I think it's safe. It's good. It has good public safety and it's a resort. I think maybe the image of being safe." I said, "You just want to go there and live?" She said, "Yes, I want to live and work, and I want to have a half blood child." I want to have a half child. Why? Because foreign kids are cute, don't you think? I want to raise a kid bilingually. And Nikki is another learner. Are you serious? He said, yes, honestly, I wanted to marry a guy who's a foreigner for a long time. So here, half mixed-blood child is a loaded term because children with Asian mixed blood are rarely referred to hafu. So the word hafu invokes the image of Japanese and Caucasian mixed race or black Japanese, but typically it's a Euro-Asian imagery. And so for Yayoi, learning English has little to do with work or a realistic plan to work abroad. Instead, it creates a fantasy world with a white partner and a bilingual half child. So, skip this. And actually, Yayoi's case was exceptional. Of the women I interviewed, she was the only one who explicitly expressed this kind of desire. And in contrast, Miyuki's case is very different. Miyuki is a 28-year-old woman, and she used to be an office worker at a local manufacturing company. She worked for this company for 7 years, and she quit working, and she wanted to learn English to become an English teacher for children. That was her dream. So she was taking lessons at B1. B1 is a pseudonym for Franchise Large Eikaiwa Institute. So she was learning English for career change. So in her case, it's more like learning English for investment rather than leisure. And it turned out that she was engaged to a Caucasian American teacher at the B1. Okay. But she didn't have this akogare. And she said, sometimes I happen to talk about him, his fiancé, and my friends say, I'm envious that my partner is American. That's probably because Japanese men are clumsy. But I think it depends. For example, my elder sister's husband is so sweet, and let's play him some verse. Men like that are too few. Foreign men with more refined mannerisms probably are a little better. and when she hears, I'm envious, she feels as though her husband is viewed as merchandise. And actually, Miyuki's akogare for English was related to her previous Japanese teachers of English. They were very good teachers, and she had this akogare for them. And then she had sensitivity towards diversity, not just, you know, white Caucasian culture, but she had sensitivity to all kinds of diversity. And akogare certainly exists, as described by previous studies, yet it is manifested in different ways in my data. And in her case, it's investment rather than consumption. And the irony is actually, Miyuki eventually scored very high on TOEIC. This is a test of English. And she eventually got a job of teaching English to young children in Hasu. But she was getting minimum wage. Her salary was only 750 yen per hour, which is only about $7 US dollars. So compared to what she was earning before, she had a lower economic gain. So she's actually competing with native speakers of English on the job. Okay. So commodified eikaiwa for consumption. So interviews with service providers shed light on commodification of eikaiwa. So primary consumption concern of a have a business is to make profits rather than helping learners develop English skills or providing quality teaching. So they use various strategies to make profits, student recruitment and retention strategies, curriculum design and payment system. I don't have time to go over this, so you'll have me later if you're interested. And Yasuo is a 53-year-old man. He's a graduate from a prestigious university and a former engineer who worked for a large manufacturing company. But he was laid off when he was 44, 45. And then he decided to open an Eikaiwa business. I'll share with you his experience with his clients. He said, this is really sad, but I can't attract students unless I have Caucasian teachers. Mm. After all, they prefer white teachers and black teachers are not welcome. Mm. And then he said, this business is weird. It's like a host club. My club has male hosts for the there are quite a few women in their late 20s who continue to take lessons for years. They're single. They're not particularly eager to study, and to be honest, they don't make any progress. They don't quit. I mean, they like to come and see a young foreign man. I can't think of any other reasons. And also, I mentioned Miyuki eventually became an English teacher for children, right? So Miyuki's experience with mother at work goes, I've never studied abroad or lived in America. So some mothers were unsatisfied me being a teacher. One day, a mother said, I heard your husband is American. So I said, yes. Then she became satisfied. After that, things became easier for me. But I don't feel right. If I were married to a Vietnamese or a Brazilian, then I definitely face reverse discrimination. Discussion. Learning EFL, English as a foreign language, creates a human contact zone for socializing and exposure to exotic language and culture. And this is, of course, outside of the educational institutions like schools and universities. We can look at language learning or language development as casual leisure and consumption. And the learning language for casual leisure and consumption stimulates emotions, joys, fantasies, and dreams beyond communicative success or professional development. It's participation rather than learning. And consumption rather than investment, and English whiteness and native speakers are commodified, advertised, and consumed. Yet consumers are not affected by the discourse in the homogeneous way in my data. So I guess what I want to say is that language learning is not necessarily for social inclusion. It's just for having fun and enjoying the occasion. But at the same time, at this location, there are lots of political, ideological, economic implications. After I reflected on my experience, I had some vexed questions. Okay? If learning does not really matter in this kind of circumstance, then why should we, as language teaching specialists, pay attention to this context? How does this research contribute to social transformation and social justice? And is it possible, however, to change the status quo if the consumers become more critical about the nature of the service? So like, you know, consumer education, if consumers or language learners become more critical about all these, you know, native speaker myths and whiteness and all these things, then maybe we can make is what changes. Learning English from native speakers sometimes offer personal benefits like safe refuge in mind, fantasy world, and socializing and things, which might be necessary for some people at a certain point in their life. Then can we deny these benefits as complicit with linguistic imperialism or try to alter them? If in the current economic crisis, a small Eikaiwa business owner like Yasuo is actually barely struggling because he's been losing customers and things, then very struggling to survive, then what would be our professional advice for him? Actually, I was in the position of giving him some advice. I just didn't know what to say. And there are more questions than answers, I think. Mm. Thank you.